Psalm 78 and Acts chapter 13. Tonight, I'm going to give you part one of the life of David, Close Encounters, King David. We've been talking about having close encounters with God. And I'll tell you something, we've had some close encounters in these services today. Amen. If you've been in service this morning and you've been in service tonight, you have felt the Lord. And God has done something that is immortal and immeasurable. Amen. That we'll remember for all eternity. Praise God. And thank the Lord for His presence. And the pastor was singing, "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know," this morning. And then Darnell singing that tonight. I just know that the Lord, aren't you glad the Lord loves us tonight? I don't care what we've done, where we've been. His love is unconditional. He died on the cross. If you want to know how much God loved you, He gave you a big bear hug, but it was on the cross. Amen. When He stretched out His hands. Can we celebrate that tonight? Can we thank the Lord for that tonight? Close encounters. Tonight, King David, part one, Psalm 78, verse 70. If you're there, say amen. And it is good to have Brother Adam here tonight, and the Lord is blessing his ministry. He's preaching in many revivals and churches, and he's about to graduate and be hit loose. Amen. So thank the Lord for him tonight, and we appreciate him being here. Amen. Psalm 78, verse 70. He chose David, also his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes, great with young. He brought him to feed Jacob his people, and Israel his inheritance. Verse 72, for he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. David had close encounters with God. In Acts chapter 13, verse 36, this is speaking of David many centuries later. For David, after he served his own generation by the will of God, fell on asleep. I'm glad to know that's the way the Bible describes death, because the body is asleep, resting, but the spirit is with the Lord. Amen. For he fell on asleep and was laid into his fathers and saw corruption. For David served his generation by the will of God. That's exactly what every person should strive for, whether you're young or old, to serve your purpose, your time. God has you here for a reason. And he served by the will of God. Father, tonight, thank you. Give us close encounter. Continue in 2019, closer than ever before. Lord, may I decrease and may you increase. May your word go forth tonight in power, and we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. And before you see it, turn around and tell somebody you're in the right place tonight. Amen. You didn't miss a turn. You didn't come by accident. You're in the right place tonight. Westmoreland. Amen. You may be seated tonight. I know that in today's world, the grave markers are flat. I asked my wife the other day, we were at the cemetery. I said, wonder why the grave markers are all flat, because in the older cemeteries, the grave markers are big and they stand upright and they have the name you can see. And my wife said, that's easy. It's so they can cut the grass easier. Okay. Thank you. I needed to know that. But in those grave markers, they would have on those old grave markers the name of the person, the birth date, the death date, and they would also have an epitaph or a little saying on the grave marker. And somebody had on theirs, behold, on the grave marker, behold as you pass by, for as you are, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be. Prepare for death and follow me. But somebody was reading that, and they added these words and taped them up on the grave marker and said, to follow you, I am not content until I know for sure which way you went. Now, Max Lucado writes one far more sad than that. He talks about Grace Llewellyn Smith, and he ran across her grave marker epitaph. And it read like this, sleeps but rests not, loved but was loved not, tried to please but pleased not, died as she lived, all alone. Now, how sad is that? You see, epitaphs can say a lot about a person. And I think as we think about King David, and his life and his legacy, the great David, that if he, we could find his grave marker today, if it were still where we could see it, and if they had written an epitaph on his grave marker, it would have said this: "Here lies King David, a man after God's own heart." Because that really sums up his life. You see, he was a poet. He was a singer. He was a musician. He was an author. He was a lover. He was a killer. He was a king. He was a failure. He was a leader. But most of all, paramount to all, the scripture says twice, "Here is a man after my own heart." That's what I want in 2019. That's what I believe is the secret to having a close encounter with God. We've already talked about Abraham. We've already talked about Moses. We already talked about Joseph and Adam and all of these. And we're understanding that you think, well, I can't have a close encounter with God. I'm this, or I've been through that, or I've had this issue. Every last one of these men and women that had close encounters with God, you will understand they had feet of clay. And their heart beat like yours beat, and they failed like you failed, but God doesn't fail. And if we will be men and women after his own heart, God raise up some teenagers, God raise up young preachers, God raise up some septenarians, those in their 70s and those in their 80s, it's never too late to be a man or woman after God's own heart. Somebody give him praise here tonight to have close encounters. There's no doubt that King David was a major player in the Word of God. No one almost has as much influence as David. Charles Swindoll said that so powerful was David that 62 chapters of the Old Testament are devoted to his biography. And no less than 59 references in the New Testament call people's attention to this man more than any other Bible character. Jerry Vines, a great preacher, says that David's name appears in the first chapter of the New Testament and also the last chapter of the New Testament. And when you really think about it, there's not any serious student of the Bible. There's not any person who really wants to know how to be used by the Lord. You really want to be a serious student of the Bible. You really want to have a spiritually dynamic life. Then you would be very wise and you would look very carefully at the entirety of the life of David, because in David we see ourselves. I can't always identify with Abraham. I can't always identify with Joseph. I can't identify with Daniel. I can see some things, but I'll tell you, when I read about David, I see myself. I see each other, and I want you to know that you can have, if David can have those close encounters and have that kind of impact with all of the stuff he went through, I want you to know there's hope for you tonight. And there's hope for me tonight. I want to have close encounters with God. And in order to do that, let's see how David had close encounters with God. Now, I'm going to give you part one tonight. There's no way in one message that you... In fact, these messages have a lot more content than I would normally put. But I believe that the Lord will speak. So I'm going to give you part one. I'm going to go up to his sin with Bathsheba. And next week, we'll pick up with the sin. And we'll go all the way till he meets the Lord in the grave. And so this night, I want you to know that you as well can have a close encounter with God. Can you say amen tonight? You see, he had his times of tears, but he had his times of triumph. He had his times of shame, but he had his times of glory. He had his times of failure, but he had his times of success. And one of the reasons that David had such close encounters with God can be summed up in this, that he was a worshiper. Somebody say a worshiper. You see, when he was triumphant, he worshiped. When he sinned and failed, he worshiped. When he fought in the battles, he worshiped. When he died worshiping. In fact, the Bible says in one scripture in 2 Samuel that I don't have on the screen, it says in 2 Samuel 6:14 that David danced before the Lord with all his might. Now, that is a fascinating scripture. Here is a king. Here is a man of royalty. But here is a man who don't care what people think, don't care what others say. He is so in touch with God, so in love with God, that as they begin to play music, he begins to dance. And as he dances, he doesn't just do a little leg shake. He does it with all of his might. I'm not telling you you've got to dance in order to express your worship. But I can tell you this. Why don't we worship with all of our might? Why don't we praise him with all of our might? Why don't we serve him with all of our might? I promise you, when you worship, if it's a dance, if it's running around the church like these did tonight, whatever it is, with all of your might, you can have a close encounter with God as you worship the Lord. Can you say amen tonight? David, the Bible says in Psalm 34 and 8, said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Psalm 42 and 1, "As the deer panteth after the water brook, so my soul pants after you." David said in another place, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." David told us about the Lord who is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Surely goodness and mercy, I'm going to skip all of that, shall follow me all of the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house. Do you get the idea? He is a man after God's own heart. He is a worshiper. And if you have that in your life, you can't help but have close encounters of God. In fact, Acts chapter 15, verse 16 says, in the last days, he's going to raise up the tabernacle of David. What does that mean? That means that we're all headed to the tabernacle of David. What does that mean? It just means we're all headed to worship. So you might as well get used to it. If some of this makes you uncomfortable tonight, you might as well just go ahead and get used to it, because what you see tonight is what we're going to be doing for all eternity, praising and blessing and magnifying the Lord. I wish you'd put your hands together and thank God that he's going to raise the tabernacle of David. I'll tell you what, a dead, cold, dry iceberg church is an insult to God Almighty. He is abandoning it, and Ichabod has been written over the door. He says, "I inhabit the praises of my people." You can sit there, fold your arms, and zip your lip, and God will walk 5 miles down the road before he does anything in that place. I'll tell you where he's at. He's where we worship. He's where we invite him. He's where we want a close encounter. Draw nigh to God, and I will draw nigh to you. How many of you want a close encounter in 2019? How many of you want more of the Lord than you've ever had? Why don't you just stand up and lift your hands and say, "I'm going to worship. I'm going to raise the tabernacle of David. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Let's be men and women after his own heart." Somebody shout hallelujah. Give him a hand of praise here tonight. He inhabits those praises. You may be seated for another 59 minutes. Now, we're going to make this quick, I promise. The Lord has already moved in this service. I want to give you three things. David's life, the first part of his life. Number one, David's calling. David's calling. Another king is reigning in Israel. His name was King Saul. That's another story. But he lost his touch with God. The Bible said to Samuel the prophet, "Go, and I'm going to anoint the next king of Israel. Go to Jesse's house." He has 7 sons. And so Samuel, as the bishop, goes down to anoint the next king of Israel. And son number one, who has biceps and triceps and precepts and strong, thick hair and eyes that pierce. Samuel, the bishop's coming to anoint the next king. And I know that first oldest brother thought, "Man, I'm in for it now." And here comes the bishop, Samuel, and he looks at him up and he looks at him down and he says, "Nope." Son number two, equally as handsome, equally as strong, maybe had even had some exploits as a soldier. Nope. Son three, nope. Son four, five, six, none of them. "Do you have another son?" "Yeah, I think so. His name is David, but surely not David. He's just out there with the sheep. He's our sheep keeper. You know, the rest of these guys have fought in battles, and surely you're not. We didn't even call him. Get him here and get him here now." And here comes David. He's been out with the sheep. He's got wool all over his clothes. He's got a beard. He hadn't shaved. And as soon as the bishop looks at him, he says, "That's him." Why is that him? Because the Lord does not look on the outward appearance. The Lord looks on the heart. I'm about to have church here tonight. Brother and sister, I'm here to tell you, you may have been beaten. You may have been molested. You may have been forgotten. You may think, "Now, there's no way I can make a difference." I'm telling you, you get a heart after God, and He's calling you tonight. He's calling you to ministry. He's calling you to holiness. He's calling you to praise Him. He's calling you to be saved tonight. David had a glorious call from the simplistic part of life. Amen. By the way, David was tending sheep. Somebody say tending sheep. It's amazing how God calls people from insignificant places and insignificant assignments. If you want God to use you greatly and you want to have a close encounter with God, then do the best you can with what you have and where you're at. You may not be working in corporate America. You may be in the drive-thru at McDonald's. You wish you could say, "Would you like to speak to my secretary?" But what you really say every day is, "Would you like to double king-size your order?" If you've got to say king-size your order, then do it with enthusiasm. And do it with joy. Because I'll promise you, God is there in the insignificant places. If you're a school teacher, that's not insignificant. You are making a tremendous difference. If you're in the retail world, such as myself, I know the Lord is using me there. I know, hey, I've made up my mind wherever He puts me, whatever situation, whatever I do, I'm doing for the Lord. And if it's before me to do it, roll your sleeves up and say, "I'm going to tend these sheep," because who knows, the bishop might be coming and calling me to, and God always calls you from serving to greater service. Oh, you missed that, didn't you? There's a lot of people that can't do anything unless they have an audience. Are you with me? David didn't have an audience, did he? Nobody saw him, but God saw him. And David said, "I'll take care of my sheep." David was called. And so David was anointed to be king of Israel. And you know what happened after he was anointed? When the bishop laid his hands on him and said, "You'll be the next king." I'm like, I'm reading the Bible and I'm like, "Wow, man, next page, he's going to be ruling and reigning and commanding armies." And you know what the next page is doing? Still tending the sheep. Come on now. Y'all were running around the church a few minutes ago. What is happening now? This is very interesting. And I'm going to try to hasten this. But obviously when Samuel anoints him and says, "You're the next king," Samuel and the bishop goes back home and nothing happens. Let me tell you something. When nothing is happening, something is happening. You better not get in a hurry. Because if David would have left there and said, "Hey guys, I'm the next king," he'd have been just like Joseph, thrown into a pit for a long time. In fact, that is what happened eventually. God always has a pit before the palace. But please understand this. The scripture says that there was a giant called Goliath who was taunting the armies. And Goliath was this big, tall guy. And the rest of those folks were scared. Scared. That's what they say in Nash County. They were scared to death. Come on, you Nash County folks. You know what I'm talking about. I'm here to tell you. Their brother Philip, by the way, lives in Nash County. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, friend, that David's dad said, "Son, can you take some cheese down to your brothers who are fighting the battle?" Now, wait a minute. He was just anointed to be the king. Yeah, but his timing wasn't there. And instead of reigning with a scepter, he's carrying around cheese. Cheese and milk. Somebody say cheese and milk. So David takes the cheese down there to his brothers. And what does David see? His brothers in the army of Israel is frightened because of the giant. And here's David's like, "What's going on? We can take this giant down." And so David's brother looked at him and says, "What are you doing here? You're just trying to make a name for yourself." By the way, you're always going to have some elder brother to put you down. You're always going to have, it may be a family member. God help us. It may be your own mom or your own dad. It may be your own brother, or your own sister. You're going to have some family member, some church member. Somebody's going to look at you like that. Because let me tell you something. Don't let that stop you. That didn't stop David. His older brother looked at him and said, look, you get on back and you take care of those few sheep. Oh, but David said, no, there's a giant there, but there's a God greater than that giant. And by the way, when you're faithful with a little cheese, when you're faithful with a little milk, I tell you, God can help you fight the great giants of life. Amen. Sometimes it starts with a slice of chicken. Come on. Are y'all with me here tonight? The long story short is David said, let me at him. Why, David? Because a bear came against my few sheep you're talking about. A lion came against my few sheep, but the Lord moved on me and I ripped the mouth of the lion. The Lord moved on me and I cleaned that bear. Don't you see his head hanging in my house? Oh, I'm here to tell you, if I can take on a lion, if I can take on a bear, I know this giant is nothing. And the long story short, little David, oh so small, and Goliath, oh so tall, but oh poor little David, he went out there in the name of the Lord and with the anointing and with the power of God. And here's what somebody said. Here's what happened. Three words. Chunk, plunk, and funk. Come on, give the Lord a praise. Chunk, plunk, and funk. And I like to quote Reverend Adam Fulgham from this very pulpit. He stood on top of David, cut his head off, and said, I told you so. Hallelujah, somebody. Oh, thank the Lord for the calling. The calling. You're called. You say, that's David. No, that's you and me. Have you got some giants that you're facing? I promise you, you can have a close encounter with God. That giant of debt can come down. That giant of cancer can come down. That giant of disease can come down. And so David had a calling. Somebody say calling. And then it led to his crisis. Number two, David's crisis. Because when he slew the giant of Goliath, all of a sudden Saul promoted him. And then Saul the king, remember I talked to you about Saul the king? Saul the king. People started singing the praises of David more than they sung the praises of the king. And how many of you know kings don't like it when people sing praises of their subjects over them? How many of you just know that's just human nature? And so make a long story short, this man who was anointed, this man who was gifted, this man who had victory, begin to walk into a crisis. I'm here to tell you tonight that when you have close encounters with God, it's not always going to be easy. There may be crisis in your life. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1 through 2. So David gathered a group of men and became exiles. There was a group of men around him. And the Bible says, let's go to 2 Samuel 22 and verse 1. And David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave. To the cave. Somebody say the cave. Now I thought I was anointed. I thought I was going to be the next king. But here I am reigning and ruling all right, but in a cave. Makes me think of the Bat Cave. You know, Batman. Anyway, none of y'all know that. But friend, if you're Batman, you can rule in a cave if that's where God puts you. Amen? For all of you 30 and under, you should have really got a blessing out of that one. I don't know. In the new movies, they might not have the Bat Cave. In the new ones, do they have the Bat Cave? Do they? Brother Nate, do you know what I'm talking about? You don't know what I'm talking about. Our youth pastor don't know. He doesn't watch movies. He's sanctified. Amen. But I'm just picking on him. But the point is, he's in a cave. Somebody say a cave. His crisis. Anointed, appointed, but I'm in a cave. Now notice this. Go back to verse 1. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. Verse 2. Look at this. And everyone that was in distress. Somebody say distress. And everyone that was in debt. And everyone that was discontented. Somebody say distress, debt, and discontented. That's a three-part sermon series I'm going to preach one day. Because that hits us all. Somewhere in here, somebody's distressed. Or somebody's in debt. Or somebody's discontented. But the Bible says they gathered themselves unto David. And he became a captain over them. Now it wasn't but about 400 men. But I'm here to tell you, these 400 men were down and out. They were the rejects of the kingdom. They had no ambition. Saul had rejected them. Why? Because they were in debt. They were distressed. And you better watch those people in debt and distress and discontent. Because I'm here to tell you, God can take nobodies and make somebodies out of anybody. Can I get a witness here tonight? Because I'm going to tell you that David, he did the best he could with what he had. And he was in exile. But while he was in exile, he got a group of men. He said, guys, I know we're down in the cave. I know this is not where we're ultimately going to be. But let's train up. Let's pump some iron. Let's read some scriptures. Let's sing some songs. Let's get ready. Because one day, God's going to point at us a kingdom. One day, we're going to rule and reign. And you know what? These very men who are down and out, you read scripture, they turned out to become some of the greatest men that have ever lived on the face of the earth. Turn around and tell somebody, God can do great things for you. In fact, one of these men, I don't have time to give it to you. This is what I'm telling you. It's a fascinating story. It's a big study, and I'm trying to give it to you in 20 seconds. But listen to this. Some of these men that were in debt and distressed and discontented, the Bible says one of them later on killed 800 men at one time with their own bare hands. How many of you know that's one thing, to be a discontent and to be a reject, and the next thing you are a mean mama jama, and you're taking on 800 men. Man, you say that can't happen. Oh, yes, it can. When you have close encounters with God, you can slay every one of you shall chase 1,000, and 2 shall chase 10,000. When you have close encounters with God, you can overcome the obstacles. My God, I don't care what you are tonight. It's not who you are, it's who you become. Coming. God can turn the crisis to a crown. In fact, I love this in 1 Chronicles 11 and 20. It says one of those men became so mighty in God that he slew a lion in a pit on a snowy day. That's the strangest scripture. A lion. We know who the lion is, don't we? He's the devil. A lion in a where? A pit. On a what? I hate snow. I love it, but I hate it. And brother, you are one flake of snow and every church is called off. And we should. I'm not saying we should. But I'm telling you, some of you can't make it. This is the rainiest morning I've seen in a long time. I mean, it was pouring when it was time to come to church. And I'll tell you, attendance was down because of that. And I know some of our elderly people, it is not wise for them to be in that kind of weather. But there's some 25-year-olds that didn't show up. And some 30-year-olds that didn't show up. And some 40-year-olds didn't show up. And I'm thinking, this guy took on a line on a snowy day, and we can't even get out of bed on a rainy day. My friend, you got to have some unction. You got to have some tenacity. You got to be mean business with the devil. I'm going all the way with God, because God has got a work for me to do. And I can take on a line in a pit on a snowy day. Oh, somebody say amen. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. David gathered around some people that were like-minded. As Pastor Jerry will preach in a few weeks, you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Somebody say amen. And so David and his men, they begin to fight little battles and they begin to get stronger. And Saul begins to persecute them. Until one day Saul is over here and those men are over there. And one of the men said, hey, David, there's Saul. He's asleep. You can kill him and you can become the king. Yeah, all you got to do is slit his throat. And once he's dead, you'll be the king. You're anointed. You remember the bishop? You remember all these problems? You deserve it. Why don't you just take his life? And he's there. In fact, David, the Lord just put it at your hand to do that. You better be careful. You better be careful. You need to listen to the right advice. And David said, you want me to kill this man? This man is now the reigning king. And he is still under the anointing and the appointing. When God gets ready to take him, then God will take him. But I'm not taking this into my own hands. One of the worst things you can ever do in your life is to take things into your own hand. You better trust God's timing. And you better be careful to listen to the wrong advice, because had David killed Saul, oh yes, he could have shortcutted to the throne, but he would have never had the exploits and never rose and God would have not been pleased. Let me tell you, God is pleased when we walk in obedience. God is pleased when we walk in trust. If we want to have close encounters with God, we got to be faithful even under hard bosses, even under, we got to be faithful under pastors God puts us under. We got to be faithful under leadership. I am telling y'all, getting quiet here tonight now. We've got to learn to be humble. We got to learn to wait on God's timing. You can't shine. Somebody say this: don't shine before your time. Turn around and tell that to somebody. Don't shine before your time. It's coming. It's coming. God's working it out. You just trust Him. You keep getting stronger. God will take you from the crisis to the crown, because He loves you and He will fulfill every word. And so finally, David said no, and his men went down to a place called Ziklag. Somebody say Ziklag. I can see Paul Jackson saying Ziklag. He just shakes his head every time he says it. Ziklag. Say it again, Ziklag. It's on the other side of Bailey, between Bailey and Horns Church Road, I think. No, that's on the other side. And things went from bad to worse. I'm going to tell you, sometimes when you listen to me, when you are wanting close encounters with God, sometimes it didn't go from great to greater. Sometimes it goes from great to worse to greater. Now, I know that people don't like that, but that's just the way it is. Because David went to Ziklag. He'd already been through a lot. He already had to flee. And things got a lot worse. Because at Ziklag, all of his men, their wives, their children, were stolen by the enemy. And I'm getting ready to come to a close. Somebody ask Brother Adam to come. If you'll get ready. Just come on up. And at Ziklag, they suffered a great defeat. And there'll be times in our life when we'll have some defeats. Times when the devil's going to want to steal our children. Steal our families. The Bible says that they wept until they had no power to weep. Has that been you lately? Have you gotten alone somewhere and just cried and cried and cried? Let me tell you something. God is near a broken heart. And David, the Bible says, and they actually talked about stoning David. And I'll tell you, there's times when right now our nation is turning against our president because we're blaming him for everything. And it's the same way with Obama, Trump, Bush. Listen, I've been through enough presidents to tell you it don't matter. They all got problems. Can I get a witness out there? The Bible says that David encouraged himself. Somebody say he encouraged himself. You got to learn to encourage yourself. I said you got to learn to encourage yourself. You know what I do when I get down? I remind God. I remind myself of those prayer meetings. I remind, when I don't feel good and when people don't treat me good and when I failed and the devil says, just give it up. I start saying, now, Ricky, you stay faithful. God's going to bless. You give on, you keep giving. God's going to get back. You remember that prophecy that Jensen Franklin spoke over you in 1998 at the Middlesex Church of God? You remember that? And I'll tell you, bro, I'm getting excited right now. Just talking about it. Amen. I'm just here to tell you. You got to learn to encourage yourself. People say, well, listen, you're not crazy if you talk to yourself. You're crazy if you don't talk to yourself. I talk to myself all the time, and sometimes I'll answer back to you. Oh, I feel like the little fella in the Lord of the Rings that talks to himself. What's his name? That little ugly creature that Gollum. You know, that's exactly what you got to do. You got to say, Mies is crazy for backsliding. Mies is going to miss church. No way, Mies. You know, that's good. Oh, I know this is not making sense, but I'm telling you, we got to trust Him. We got to encourage ourselves in the Lord. And the Bible says that God spoke to him. Would you stand with me tonight? That God spoke to him and said in 1 Samuel chapter 30 verse 8. 1 Samuel chapter 30 verse 8 from the crisis. Hallelujah. The Bible says that David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake him? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall overtake them and without fail, you shall what? What does all mean? Brother Schuyler, what does all mean? Hallelujah, somebody. everything that the devil has stolen. You don't know, Pastor, what I faced as a little girl or as a little boy. You don't know the hurts of my life. You shall recover all. Come on, lift your hand in this building. I said 2019 is the year of expectation. And we're expecting to recover all. I gave you point number one, David's calling. Say David's calling. I gave you point number two, David's crisis. And Brother Blue, for the final point, David's coronation. Because it wasn't until later, right after that, that David was anointed to be the king over Judah. And years later, over all Israel. I'm here to tell you tonight, you can have a close encounter. Would you bow your heads tonight? Now, Father, as we close this service tonight, we know that you're the God of David. We know that Goliaths and giants are going to come down in 2019. We know, God, that there's nothing too hard for the Lord. And we know that we're going to recover all. I pray tonight as we lift our hands towards you that we will encourage ourselves in the Lord. That God will be strong and do exploits. That we'll slay the lion in the pit on a snowy day, on a bad day. Oh, sing that. My God can do anything. Come on, let's close at the altar. Come on down. Anything, anything. You'll recover all. My God can do it. I said he shall recover all. He made this world. He made the world and all its fullness. And all the time shall ring. My God, oh, he can do and do. Yeah.